Good morning. It's good to see you out this morning. Thanks for turning up. It's been very easy to stay away today when you heard the preacher, but I'm really encouraged to see you out this morning. As I read what Morris says, if you're too warm, don't be afraid to take your jacket off and loosen the top button for, I tell you, it's hot up here, and I'm sure it's hot down there too. Turn with me in God's Word this morning to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to begin a reading at the first verse. Hebrews chapter 11, and the Word of God says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translations he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, which is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word this morning. Let's just take a wee minute to come before the Lord in prayer and ask for his help in the minutes that lie ahead. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And we pray this morning as we come to look at these men of faith, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, you would help us to see their faith. And Lord, may we live our lives and follow after them. And follow after thee, O God. Lord, we pray for a real sense of your presence this morning. And Lord, we pray that we go out of this place increased and strengthened in our faith, for it's in your loving name we pray. Amen. I've simply called this message this morning, "Have you tested positive for faith? Have you tested positive for faith?" I suppose what I've really done in this message this morning, I've stolen a few phrases that some of us will be familiar with over the past 18 months or so, and sound bites that we'll have heard. And I hope by maybe listening to them sound bites that it will refresh your memory when you hear them again. And you think, oh, remember that about that. And sometimes it's good to jog our memory. I think as believers, it's good to take a rain check from time to time and look at our walk with God and look how we're getting on. It's good to do it regularly, because I only know too well, I'm only human just like the rest of us. And when we sit back and we relax sometimes, we become like old stagnant water, don't we? We become stagnant. And it's good to examine ourselves. And a regular examination of our spiritual walk is important. I want to take a few minutes this morning and look at God's word of these couple of men of faith that we've read about this morning and what the Bible has to say about them. And I trust it will be a challenge to your heart as it was to mine. And please don't think I'm preaching at you this morning. I'm preaching it myself. For when I was studying this, it really challenged my heart about these men and the faith that they had. Have you tested positive for faith? Hebrews chapter 11 speaks about faith, and it's something that every Christian in life must have, and we must increase in. This morning's message applies to every single person in this building. Whether you're just new in faith, whether you've been on the road a long time, and even for those that are still not yet into the kingdom, you need faith as well this morning. I need more faith. You need more faith. And God has left these godly examples in his word that we may learn from them. At the end of Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 38, the writer of the Hebrews quoted an Old Testament passage of Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. And he simply says this, "Now the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. That's a very important phrase, and it's quoted three times in the New Testament, and every time it's quoted in Habakkuk chapter 2. It's quoted in Romans chapter 1, Galatians chapter 3, and here in Hebrews chapter 10. The just shall live by faith. And it's an entirely reasonable question for you to ask this morning. Well, Phil, what is faith? How do I live this life by faith? And I trust with God's help this morning that I can simplify this down for you and help you understand what it is. We must live by faith. But what does that even mean? The writer of the Hebrews in chapter 11 goes on to explain to us what faith is, and then he goes on to show us how, in a very practical way, faith works out in the life of a believer. First of all, let's talk about displaying symptoms of faith. We must display symptoms of faith. The definition of a symptom, I had to look this up because I'm a simple kind of guy. A symptom is a physical or a mental problem that a person experiences that may indicate a condition. Symptoms cannot be seen and do not show up on a medical test. Faith, we read in verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for," so the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. There is something substantial to faith. Let me see if I can explain it a wee bit better this morning, what faith is the substance of, and then how it's connected to the things that are hoped for. Every day, men and women, we interact with this world. We've all got senses. So we've got our eyes, and they see, that's a sense. We've got our nose that smells, and that is also a sense. We've got our touch and our feel. And by all this, we interact, if you like, with the material world around us. If we didn't have these senses, it would be very hard to interact with one another and the things around us. And so, I would say that the predominant way we interact with the world is by sight. We see things before we smell, we feel things before we touch them, and we see things, and that's the main way that we interact with the material world. But I would not only say there's a material world that we live in, men and women, but there is also a spiritual world that we live in. And we live in a world where there are realities that are non-material. There's a spiritual realm. There's the work of the Spirit. And that happens around us. And faith is the sense by which we interact with the Spirit. It's the sight that enables us to interact with the spiritual world around us. Just as your physical sight helps you to see and interact, so faith is that sense that helps you interact with the spiritual world. So faith is the substance of what? It's the substance of things hoped for. In other words, if you can touch it, if you can feel it, you don't need faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance of things hoped for. It goes on to say in verse 2 that "for by it the elders obtained a good report." Faith has a work that it does in every one of our lives. It makes a difference in your life. And that's why we should be people of increasing faith. We should be wanting to continually grow in faith. It certainly worked out that way for these men and women that we've read about in God's word this morning. For it goes on to say in verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. They had a good testimony to those around them. By the faith, they were able to live a good and a good life in front of the people that they were around, their peers and those that watched on. And these men lived and died by faith. Brothers and sisters, this morning, so must we. We must live and die by faith. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear, or things which are visible. That's what verse 3 goes on to say. Now notice this, that he says that by faith we understand things that we weren't around to see. There's not a single person in this room, I'd be pretty confident, no matter how old you are, was around for creation. Boys and girls, you can think of the oldest person you can think of in here, and they definitely weren't around for creation. But we see creation, and nevertheless, we know that it happened, because in God's word in Genesis chapter 1, God simply said, let there be light. In other words, God said it, and it happened. How do we know that? We don't, because we weren't there. But because we have faith, we can see what God has done around us. By faith, we have God's word, and we can believe it. Every word of God's word is true, and we can have faith. We can trust this book. After the writer of the Hebrews explains what faith is and what it looks like, he then goes on into verses 4 and on down the chapter. And I want this morning to lead you, if you like, into this great room. The writer of the Hebrews takes us into this room, if you like, this great hall of fame. This morning, I'm going to call it the hall of faith. And this big room, if you like, the hall of fame, you all know what a hall of fame is. You've got these statues and painting all around the room of famous people and celebrities, and it tells you all about them. And here this morning we come to this hall of faith, and we're going to look at a few of these characters and how we can take example from it. This actual chapter in Hebrews 11 is called, in my margin it says, the roll call of the heroes of faith. The first one of these heroes we come to this morning is Abel. Abel, by faith, Abel offered up to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We all know the story of Cain and Abel, don't we? Early on in the book of Genesis, both Cain and Abel were sons of Adam and Eve. And Cain was a man who was a farmer. He grew grain and he worked the ground. He grew produce and vegetables. And Abel also was a farmer, but he was a shepherd and he handled livestock. And they both came to make offerings to God. And Abel brought an offering from his flocks. And Cain brought an offering from the produce that he had from the ground, and his grain or his vegetables or whatever it was. But Cain brought that offering to God. And it would be very easy to think the difference between these two offerings was that one offering was made of vegetables and the other one was made of meat. And Abel brought a sacrifice of meat. Cain brought a sacrifice of grain. And it's very easy to get confused and say that was the problem with this sacrifice. But Abel brought a sacrifice and it was pleasing to God. And there's no point in trying to correlate the two together. The problem was that Cain came to God with his offering, but he did not come in faith. Abel came in faith, and because of that, it pleased God. Cain's offering was made without faith. Here we have the first ever, in the Bible, false positive. We've got the first ever false positive. Of course, I had to look that up again. A false positive is a test result which wrongly indicates that a particular condition or attribute is present. Here we have the first false positive. Cain was a false positive for faith. He may have displayed some really encouraging symptoms. He was saying all the right things. It looked like he had faith. He was bringing his offering, but he had no substance in this faith. I think that writer of the Hebrews also wants us to know that we too can perform religious rituals, and without that, without faith, they are meaningless to God. Can I say right now that we are doing a religious ritual, if you like? We're at church on a Sunday morning. We've come here to praise and to worship God, and you've brought your Bible with you, and you're listening to God's word, and this is a religious practice, if you like. But if we do it this morning out of habit, If it's not done in faith, God will not honour it. God will honour those who are faithful. As we gather this morning, brothers and sisters, to offer our worship to God, are we doing it in faith? Or are we doing it because of what we do on a Sunday? We've done it for a lifetime. And maybe we've got so used to what we're doing that we forget why we're here. Have you come in faith this morning? Are we like Cain and we've turned up to church and well, we look good and we've come through them doors and it looks like we've come with an offering. We've brought ourselves and we're presentable, but we have no faith. We've come to church and the cares of the world are upon our shoulders. And I'm as guilty as anybody at this. And we come to church and you remember, did I put the Sunday roast on? Did I turn it off? You know, and you have all these cares and some of the cares that we think about are very legitimate. But when we come to worship God, we need to leave them behind. And we need to come here in faith and trust Him. Don't let that get in the way of your offering this morning, men and women. Let faith have its way. Cain seemed to be doing all the right moves, but he lacked faith. May we come this morning to God prepared like Abel. Are we coming here in faith this morning because we know that God is a holy God? Are we coming in faith because we know that God requires our everything and that God is faithful, God is just, God is true? Do we come to Him worship and knowing that He is faithful? Abel did and Abel proved it. Another thing to see about Abel here is what reward did Abel get immediately on this earth for being faithful? For having faith in God, what reward did Abel get? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It says here, Abel was killed for his faith. Abel suffered in this life. It says here, God testifying of his gifts, that he being dead yet speaketh. But see, Abel was able to see to a life way beyond this world. He was able to see to a life by faith of a life to come, a reward for him for being faithful. And that short life that Abel lived still speaks on today to humanity, even to this very day. I wonder, can that be said of us this morning? Of them last four words in chapter 11, verse 4. He being dead, yet speaketh. I wonder if one of us believers was called home today, would people say of us, he being dead, yet speaketh. The life that that man, that woman lived, still speaks on after they're gone. Or would we even be missed? Let's keep moving on down the hall of faith. And we come down to Enoch, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. This man, Enoch, he is one of the old mystery men of the Old Testament. Enoch only gets a whopping 4 verses in the Old Testament. 4 verses in Scripture. And there's so many men and women of faith in the Bible and champions of faith. And they have chapters and books devoted to them. Enoch had 4 verses. This seemingly insignificant man. But listen carefully to what God says of this man, Enoch. It says in Genesis chapter 5, it says that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Don't misquote me this morning. Enoch was not perfect. Enoch was just like the rest of us. The difference with Enoch was he had real faith in God. Enoch walked with God. So much in communion with God was Enoch that God said, you know what, Enoch, you're so much in communion with me, I'm going to take you home and you're going to spend eternity with it. It pleased God to take him home. What a thought this morning. What a thought that God would look at us, old sinful wretched man, and he sees our faith and he says, I'm going to take that child and I'm going to bring them home to myself. What a glorious thought. It doesn't specifically say in Genesis that Enoch had faith. Nevertheless, it says that Enoch pleased God. And then we come back to Hebrews chapter 11. We go down to verse 6, and what does it say? But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Brothers and sisters, this morning, you should want to please God. That is the fulfillment of our purpose here in life. Denver quoted it in his children's talk this morning, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That is our fulfillment in life. If you live your life to please God, you will find true fulfillment. You will find true contentment. But to please God, it takes faith. You cannot please God. Notice what he says in verse 6. You cannot please God without faith. And then it goes on down to say, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him first. You've got to believe that God exists. And if you don't believe that God exists, you've got to stop right there. I want to just take a wee minute this morning and speak to those that are in this morning. And it would be very naive of me to think there's people in this building and you're yet not in the kingdom. You're outside of Christ. You haven't yet had faith. This verse is speaking to those who are searching. It says, those who diligently seek, they will get a reward. Those who look for me will find me. Have you been looking? Have you been looking in all the wrong places? Have you been searching life and you still can't find contentment? You still can't find true happiness? Try God's word. Try God's word. See what he has got to say to you. That was the testimony of this man, Enoch's life. He searched God's word. He walked with God. He found true contentment in God. May we have faith like Enoch, that can be said of us. That man, that woman walked with God. What a testimony. Let's move on down the chapter, verse 7, to Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved. Here we have Noah, and he's exercised, his faith is exercised. He was divinely warned by God of things not seen. What had Noah never seen? Noah and the people at that time had never seen rain. I know it sounds very strange to us here in Northern Ireland, for we're very well used to it, or we were, until with all this sunshine. But Noah and the men around him had never, ever seen rain. So think about it. Noah had to have faith. The book, or the Bible says in Genesis that before the flood came, the days of Noah, the earth had never seen rain come out of the skies. And for Noah, I'm sure that was a very strange thought, that somehow there was going to be water come out of the sky. They'd never, ever seen it before. But you know what? Noah trusted God's word. Noah had faith in God's word. And know what Noah said? He says, God, I don't really understand what you're saying. He says, God, I'm not just sure, but you know what? I don't need you to show me. I'm going to prove you. I'm going to believe you. And I'm going to act upon it. And that's what Noah did. He exercised his faith. How do we know that? It tells us here in verse 7 that Noah built an ark. Noah built an ark. You see, that's when the rubber hits the roads for us as sworn in believers. That's when our faith is really tested, when we have to put our faith into action. You see, it's all right saying, I believe in God and I know you're there, I know you're looking after me. But when we have to put our faith into action, we have to test it. And it will be tested. And here for Noah, faith comes down to reality. When we do something big, when we do something huge, that's when our faith will be tested. Noah had to step out in faith here. He had to trust God. I think it's very good to note at this point as well, as we move down this verse. It says, but by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He moved with fear. You know, my Bible doesn't tell me that this was a paralyzing fear. This doesn't tell me it was a paranoid fear or a frenzied fear. Or it wasn't a fear driven by self-preservation. No, this fear was a godly fear. My Bible tells me that Noah was driven by godly fear. Noah feared no one but Almighty God. Noah feared God. He didn't fear anything else. He didn't fear the prospect of a catastrophe to come. He didn't fear. No, he feared God. And that's what moved this man in faith. By faith, Noah was moved to action. He said, God, you've told me to build an ark. And even though I've never seen rain with my eye, I'm going to do it. I'm going to believe your promises. I'm going to believe your word. And I'm going to act upon it. Can we do that this morning? That's exactly what Noah did. He prepared an ark. And by faith, or by Noah's movement of faith, it says here, he saved his family. It also says he condemned the world. I was thinking about that little phrase, he condemned the world. And I don't think Noah condemned the world by screaming at the world and shouting at them. No, my Bible doesn't tell me that. It doesn't say very much what Noah did. But I think it's probable that Noah condemned the world by simply living a righteous life in front of those around him. Noah was living in very difficult, wicked days, and Noah lived a righteous life in front of these people, and by it he condemned the world around him. It would have been evident by the faith that Noah had. No one could have missed this ark. Noah's faith was so big, people could see it for miles around. They could see this ark. They could see Noah's faith in God, for he was doing what God had told him to do. He was building an ark. A little illustration I found. I heard this story and I thought it was quite good. And it was about Billy Graham, the old evangelist in America. And he was out playing golf with a friend of his. And his friend was unsaved. And they finished playing the 18 holes of golf. And after they finished doing the golf, his unsaved friend went to the car. And I can relate to him. And he threw the clubs into the car and he slammed the door in temper. And he must have had a bad game of golf. But he had another friend in the car park. And he was getting out of his car. And he seen this unsaved friend of his looking. And he seen all this commotion going on. And this believer went over to the unsaved friend. And he says, you seem rather cross this morning. What's wrong? Is he coming off the course with Billy there? What's wrong? And he says, the whole way around that course, that man Billy Graham was cramming religion down my throat. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. And this believer was a wee bit startled because he knew Billy Graham. He knew the kind of person that he was. And he says, well, tell me, like, I didn't think Billy was like that. Tell me, what did Billy actually say to you that has made you so cross? What was he preaching at you? And this unsaved man, he got very uncomfortable and he got very embarrassed. He looked down at the ground and he said, he didn't really say anything. It was just spending 18 holes with Billy Graham that made me feel condemned. Would that be your life this morning? If an unsaved person, even fellow believers, spending a round of golf with you, would they know that you are a child of God? Would they know that your faith is so strong that would make them feel condemned? Brothers and sisters, this morning, if we're going to live a life true to faith, if we're going to live a life of faith, it's going to make some people around us very uncomfortable. But this is what God calls us to do this morning. He calls us to live a life of faith. We're not to live down to the lowest common denominator in society. No, no, that our attitude should be that God, if you call me to live a life of faith, I need to do it, even if it means and it preaches a message to people around me that they're not going to appreciate. In the world we live in now, folks, this is going to become a real problem. You can see it on the rise in the days that we live in. It's going to become a real problem. If we live a life true to God's word, then our faith is not going to let us be a part of a society that is becoming more and more increasingly wicked, more and more evil. It's becoming more and more deceitful. And some of these days, very soon, our faith is going to be tested. Our faith is going to be tested to the very limits that me or you know nothing about, because we have a generation now and we're growing up with a government who is absolutely anti-God. They're anti-biblical. And you don't have to, for me to spell out for you this morning what's going on around us and in our schools and all that and some of the things that our children are being taught. Can I ask you this morning, will you come on Thursday night to the prayer meeting and will you pray for our children? Will you pray for our teenagers and our young people? Because their little faith, our saved children and young people, their faith has been tested far more than me or you ever had our faith tested in school. We maybe never seen, I personally can speak from this, I never heard a bad word or a curse word until I left school and I went out to the real world. I was 16, 17. Our children are hearing this from very, very young. They're hearing a lot worse things in school. Can we come on Thursday night and pray for the faith of our boys and girls and our young people? They need our prayers more than ever. They're being conditioned. They're being taught things in school to change their mindset on how to accept godless acts in our society. And there's trends that are coming in. And it's all about softening their guard. It's all about loosening their morals. We need to pray for our young people this morning. This man, Noah, his faith, he prayed for his family. And he acted upon it. He built an ark for his family. And in doing so, he saved his house. Isn't that amazing? By Noah's act of faith, he saved his house. As I close this morning, brothers and sisters, can I ask you, have you tested positive for faith? These men and women we've read about, these first three men, they tested positive for faith. Whenever their faith was tried, it came out true. It says in verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 11, these all died in faith. Think about these men, Abel, Enoch, Noah. They all died in faith. And then it goes on to say, not having received the promises. Every one of them lived their lives by faith. They were looking forward to a promise. They hadn't yet received it. They couldn't see it, but they lived by faith. May that be us this morning. May we look forward to a home way beyond this world. A home that the Father has prepared for us. And seeing that home afar off, seeing heaven a home afar off, may we live in faith. May we live a life dedicated to God and His Word, committed to God. Are we living that life this morning? Is our faith strong? Is it true? These men saw the promises afar off. And it says that they were assured of them. They believed them. And then something else it says of these men. He says that they embraced them. May we embrace that faith this morning. May we embrace the promises. May we trust in God's Word. For God's Word is faithful. God's Word is true. May we step out on them promises. May we step out in faith. And as others look at us in this world, may they see God's faith in us. When they look at us, they'll know that man, that woman, that boy, that girl, they're different. Why are they different? Because they dress nicely? No. Because they have faith in God. May our faith be evident in the world and to the people around us that we live in. Have you tested positive for faith? I trust this morning that this has been a challenge to your heart. It was a challenge to mine as I prepared. And may we live our lives true to God's Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. And we pray this morning that as we have looked at these men, Lord, that we would not hold them up as men, Lord, but we would look at their lives and their godly example. And may we live in faith. May we trust thee wholly. Lord, we thank you for a sense of your presence this morning. We pray that you would continue with us. And Lord, as we meet around your table, Lord, we pray that we would have a special time. Lord, help the one that would speak at the table, Lord. Bring us to yourself. Lord, for those that would leave us, take them to their homes in safety. For it's in your loving name we pray.